title slide says Proverbs, but we'll be actually turning to the book of Psalms to begin this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 37, we're going to look at Psalm 40, we're going to look at Psalm 56, Psalm 71, Psalm 118, and Psalm 31. There's a list for you there. If you want to flip, you can keep up with me if you like. I cheated and I have it printed in my notes here. Psalm 37, 5 will be our opening one. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Also a psalm of David, as the first one was. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 56, we'll read the third and fourth verse in that psalm. Also David's. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Flip several psalms to the right into Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And the last one will be Psalm 31, flipping back to that 14th verse of Psalm 31. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Let's pause there in our sword drill, bow our heads together, and ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do trust you this morning. Father, I believe that each one here, Lord, that has accepted you, Father, they have a measure of faith. Each of us, Lord, have trusted you who have accepted the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would help us to trust you more. Help our faith to grow. Help our desire to serve and our desire to please and our desire to learn and know more of you to grow, Father, moment by moment. Raise our faith in you. Help us, Lord, where we lack. You can and you will, Lord, if we offer ourselves to you. Bless us this morning by your word. Teach us, Lord, and help us to trust you. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. And for your glory, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together with your saints this morning. Bless us, I pray, and teach us in the name of Jesus. Amen. As people, and just given this life that we each live respectively, we're given a lot of opportunity to trust a lot of different things. To trust. I mean, you saw what the common theme was in each one of these verses. Trust, right? Trust was mentioned at least once, sometimes twice in many of these. And the fact of the matter is in my life, and just naturally speaking and not necessarily, well, not at all necessarily just speaking of spiritual things, I trust some things. I trust some big things. I trust some small things to be what they should be, to be what they are, I guess you could say. Some of the things that I trust in and some of the things that I, well, put a measure of faith into. You might find shocking some of the things that I trust in. You might think that some of the things that I trust in are foolish, and you're entitled to that opinion. I'll give you a couple of things that I trust in this morning, again, on a natural level. Just a couple of things. I trust the people. This sounds kind of random. I trust the people who make my food in a restaurant. Don't you? If you go to a restaurant, don't you trust them to a measure? You know what trust means. Trust means that you have a certain expectation and you expect that they're going to do what they're intended to do. And the people who are back behind the scenes, back behind the counter, further behind the counter in the kitchen, they're expected to make my food and make it in a way that's presentable, that's edible, that's non-lethal, and is, you know, tasty, I trust. When I go to that place, otherwise I wouldn't go there. I don't see those people oftentimes. Not all the places I go to have an open kitchen where I can look back and actually see them operating. I've had stories, I've shared stories of when I have looked in the kitchen and came away not wanting to have seen what I've seen. I'll tell you a story. I was doing an inspection on a restaurant. I'm not going to tell you what type it was. I'm not going to tell you where it was. I'm not going to tell you anything other than they served meat stabbed on a skewer. That was one of the things that they served, okay? So when we were back in the back kitchen doing a fire inspection, I look over and I see the guy who busts the table put down takes the food that was left on the table. And there were several of those sticks that people had chewed the meat off of. And so he took those sticks and put them aside. Dumped the rest of the stuff, and that was that. Peeled off what was remaining on that stick, and then put it into new pieces of chicken to cook. You know, people who had done this sort of thing. Yeah, then the next person does this sort of thing. So those things had been chewed a couple of times by the time they made it to, my mouth, because I used to eat at that place. I trusted those people until I saw what they were doing back there. So I don't look back in the back of the kitchen. I digress. I trust the people in the restaurant to do what they're supposed to do. I trust other people, too. I trust the drivers on the road. My folks live off AA Highway in Kingsville. Two-lane road, big semis that come. There's a quarry down there. Big, heavy-loaded, gravel-loaded semi-trucks. And they're not doing the speed limit, which is 55. I'm doing 55. They're doing 55. I trust them, don't I? Vroom. I mean, you're going past, it's 110 miles an hour closing speed, right? 110. To a certain extent, I trust them that they're not going to veer over and paste me and make it like I'm doing 110 into a brick wall. You know, the people in the restaurant, I don't see them. I don't know their tendencies, who they are as individuals. I don't know what kind of mood that they're in that day that I go in to get my food. I don't know if they can see me, do know me, maybe have a beef or a vendetta against me and want to do something to me. Those people on the road, I don't know them and their individual tendencies. I don't know if they're having a bad day. I don't know what kind of mood they're in. I don't know if they're tired. I don't know if they're high. I don't know anything about them. And yet I trust them to not cross over the line and give me a head-on collision on AA Highway or anywhere else for that matter. I trust the government. This is where I thought, perhaps there are some who think you're foolish. I trust the government, okay? I don't see everyone in the government. I don't know what their individual moods are, those people who are in those places above me. I might know some of their tendencies to some extent. I don't know if they, I don't believe that they see me or know me, most of those ones. And yet, here's where I trust them. I trust that they're not going to collectively, as a body, light the whole country on fire. Okay? Now, things can change, can't they? They can. And governments, very similar to our own, have collapsed in the past. That seemed strong and undefeatable and all of those sorts of things. So everything has an expiration date, right? But today, right now, I trust that when I go out, the street lights are going to be working. I trust that I could go straight to KCI right now, get on a plane, and the air traffic control system is going to be intact, and I'm going to be able to fly and do whatever I needed to do. I trust that they're going to keep the electricity on. You know what? I'm going to throw this out there. And I hope you'll just understand where I'm coming from on this. I trust that collectively they put out a vaccine that works against this disease that's going around. Some people don't trust that. And again, you're entitled to it. I see the numbers. I see the statistics. I have a certain understanding that, there are results. What's going to happen decades from now? Will I have a third arm growing out of this eye because I got a vaccination? That remains to be seen, right? But for the most part, I trust that they're not trying to kill me. I trust that the government's going to maintain the overarching tenets of the country, allowing me to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, whatever administration's in the office, whether I care for those people or not. Now, you might be sitting here asking me, why do I trust these things? Why do you have this faith in the government? Why do you have this faith in, the drivers and the restaurants and that sort of thing? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I trust these things. Number one, I have an understanding of the respective capabilities that are there. I have an understanding of those people who are hired by that restaurant. I trust that they vetted those cooks, that they have a license, they know how to food handle and all of that sort of thing, and that the greatest probabilities that they're not going to kill me with botulism. I trust that those ones who are driving got their license and had some kind of oversight from the government. There's that trust issue there too. From the government that says they're qualified to not head on into me on AA Highway. I trust the government that overall there's an overarching thing. There's a capability that got them into office and they at least know what to do to keep the lights on and that sort of thing. I have an understanding of their respective capabilities. I have an education on what their motivations are. Some of them aren't great. Some of those motivations aren't fantastic on an individual level, but for the most part, none of those bodies is going to profit by killing me. The restaurant, it's not going to profit by killing their customers. Drivers aren't going to profit by killing me because they're going to go to jail, and the government's not going to profit by killing me because I'm too valuable to them on April 15th. That's what it comes down to. I'm much more valuable to them living than I am dead. So, I do trust. I do have a measure of trust in certain things. And I'm going to leave that there. Nevertheless, there are things that I don't trust, okay? I don't trust some things. I have diminishing faith in certain things. Like what? I don't trust restaurants. I don't trust the people who cook my food. I don't trust drivers. And by golly, I don't trust my government. I don't. That is just the bottom line. You know, you call me a liar. Greg, you just told us. You went through this whole diatribe telling us how much you trust us. There are varying measures of trust, aren't there? There are varying measures. And just because I trust someone... Okay. I love Dean. I trust that we're good friends. I trust him to keep a secret if I tell him something. If I ask Dean to stand up here, I'm not going to trust him to catch me if I jump to him. Catch me, Dean. You love me. You care for me. You appreciate me. Catch me. I'm not going to trust him to do that. I'm not going to trust Emma to do that. I'm not going to trust, honestly, I'm not going to trust any of you to catch me, you know, from the platform. I trust you, don't I? Don't I have a measure of faith in you because you are my friends, you are my brothers and sisters in the Lord? I don't trust you with everything, and I don't trust you with anything. It's simple, man. It's simple. It's a matter of semantics. Trust has a certain, it has limitations, doesn't it? There are applications of trust based on the circumstances. There are bad drivers out there, or good drivers having a bad day. Good drivers that find themselves tired. Good drivers that find themselves frustrated and distracted and preoccupied or texting because they got an issue at home. So what do? I drive defensively, right? I watch for them. I trust that guy's probably not going to come over, but probably is the operative word. And so I watch those semi-trucks when they're coming my way. And I'm ready to hit the ditch because I'd much rather ditch my truck than put it into that truck. There are bad cooks, bad chefs out there, or good chefs caught on a bad day. They didn't realize the chicken sat out all night. And they served it out there. So I don't take a chance on iffy food. I rarely send food back. If it's not to what I like, I very rarely send it back. Because if they weren't in a bad mood before, now they're in a bad mood. Here, yeah, take this back. Oh, it's well done now. I don't. And I'll tell you what, and this is the honest truth. This is not me being arrogant. I'm not rude to people who serve me. Not necessarily because I'm such a great guy. I think I am. That sounded really arrogant, didn't it? That was supposed to be a joke. Yeah, I'm a nice guy, sure. But it's very self-serving to me to be kind to those people who are back there. Yeah, that was really gross. But, you know, you never know what's going to go in the food. Yeah, there are bad politicians. And there are ones that don't care for my respective needs. So I don't support those ones. I don't endorse politicians. I don't. Because I don't trust politicians. I don't trust the government fully, entirely, corporately, collectively, putting all of my support into any of those ones. And you might ask me why. Why don't you trust them? And I'll tell you why. And it's going to sound familiar to you, I trust, if you heard why I do trust people. I have an understanding of their respective tendencies and capabilities. I have an education on their respective motivations. Different drivers, different politicians, different restaurants, different neighbors, all of those. And I have experience with them, and I've had bad experiences with all three of those bodies. Bad experiences with restaurants. Bad experiences with drivers. Bad experiences with my government. I've had all of those things. You understand that? So you get why I don't trust them, and I get why you don't trust them. All of those things involve humans to some extent, and once you get humans involved, it's fallible, it's flawed, it's frail, it's fragile. It's just, it is what it is, because people can't be trusted for everything. Some people, you might be able to find someone that you can trust for anything, but not for everything and in every circumstance, no matter how strong, no matter how exceptional, no matter how capable someone is. You can't trust a person for everything. There's nothing in this world, naturally speaking, specifically those things that are reliant on people, that I trust implicitly, entirely, completely, for everything. Now, you might wonder, how come you spent 15 minutes on that introduction there, man? What's the point? You probably understand what the point is. Well, what was the theme of our passage as we read just a moment ago? Psalm 118, in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or the highest of men, the highest capability of women, the highest capability of humankind. It doesn't matter how high, how strong, how powerful, how capable they are. To put my confidence here instead of all the way up there would be a fallacy. It would be foolish. So this morning, the simple question that preachers ask people all the time, and that I've asked myself over and over and over, do I trust God? That's what we'll ask ourselves this morning. Do I trust God? Given that whole consideration of how I trust, I trust, I trust, I don't trust, I don't trust, I don't trust, where do I fall with the Lord? So ask yourself that question this morning. Do you trust God? As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God, is what Psalm 31:14 says. We're going to answer this question together. Do I trust God? And based solely on this verse here, based solely on your acceptance, if you are indeed a child of God, I'm going to answer it right out of the gates. Yes, we trust God. We trust God. Psalm 31, verse 14 says, you are my God. And if you said that at any point in your life, God, you are mine, I accept you, I receive you, I believe you. Jesus died for me, my sins are put away, he is my Savior, then you have trusted. And that's that. Here you are this morning, for whatever reason, demonstrating a measure of trust in him. I'm going to throw trust out there unintentionally all the time. I trust that you're here trusting that you're going to receive something this morning. I trust you're not here for entertainment. I trust you're not here just for social hour. I trust you're not here just for gossip. I don't suppose that that's the case for anyone here. You're demonstrating a measure of trust this morning. Trust that you're going to hear something that's going to improve you spiritually, encourage you in your faith, teach you something perhaps. You're bearing testimony of your trust this morning. We just prayed a moment ago. We talked to the Lord together. Isn't that what we do when we trust him to do something? Asking him, making our requests known, supplications and all of those sorts of things with thanksgiving. We've spoken to God. If you kept your eyes open and looked around, kids always do that, don't they? I've heard all three of my kids at some point in their life legit, honestly saying, Eli didn't close his eyes while he prayed. Judah didn't close his eyes while we prayed. Jaden didn't close her eyes while we prayed. You know what it is. You didn't close your eyes while you prayed. You little hypocrite. You know, get in church. You know, do something. You know, learn something. Yeah, you know, when we pray, if you didn't keep your eyes open this morning and look around at everybody, well, you were talking to the Almighty God, right? Why were you talking to the Almighty God? Because you don't believe him to be there? Because you don't believe him to be listening? Because you don't believe him to care? Because you trust that he's listening. You trust that he has something to answer to you. So yes, yes, you trust in God. Now, how come? This is going to sound familiar to you. I'll answer for myself. You can answer for yourself. I have an understanding of his respective capabilities. I have an education on what his motivations are. And I have a great deal of experience with him. Now, do you have those things? Do you have an understanding of his capabilities? Do you understand what his motivations are in dealing with you? And do you have experience with him? Let's talk about capabilities, shall we? Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. As is always the case with the things of God, with his nature, with his personal characteristics and qualities, which with the blessings that we are blessed with daily. We can't number those things. So to sit and say, let me tell you about God's capabilities, it's an exercise in futility if I were to say I'm going to cover all of it. So I'll just give you a small little diblet of it this morning. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says here, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." There's our word. "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength." Now, saints, I'm not going to speak for you, but I would be willing to bet that if I said, is there anyone here worried this morning? Anyone here just kind of troubled, burdened, maybe having their ground shaken just a little bit? I probably have some hands raised up. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll let you deal with that in your own heart. I know myself, and I know my lack of natural peace. I do. I recognize my tendency to worry. I recognize my tendency to sit and stew on things, naturally speaking, running out all the possibilities, all the potentials for damage from this issue, all the potential of fallout from that issue. All of these things, I can sit and I can spin and spin and spin. It's an impossibility to me to satisfy naturally Philippians 4:6, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing. That's not something that I do naturally speaking. That's the honest truth. I'll chew and I'll stew. I'll do all of the nonstop. I understand this. But when I have trusted the Lord with my incapability, of being anxious for nothing, when I take that to him and say, "Lord, I'm going to chew and stew until I burn a hole in my gut." I show him my incapability of putting that away, and he shows me his capabilities by helping me to put that away. I mean, literally, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, that might sound kind of strange. Okay, your evidence that the Lord is capable of helping those who trust him is by him giving you peace when you trust him? Well, as a matter of fact, yes, that is that. That is just the evidence. Because like I said, it's not natural for me to put things away. But when I say, "Lord, I trust you to deal with this," he removes that from me. And it's not just me walking around glib. I'll tell you that. It's not just me saying, "Phew, it's out of my hands, man." No, it's always present. And it's always something that I'll consider. And it's always something that I have to make an effort to say, "Lord, I don't want to spin. I don't want to turn on this. I don't want to chew on this anymore." He takes it from me, even in the moment, and he deals with it for me. That's just one of the capabilities that he has. We sang that song just a moment ago where it talks about living, he loved me. Is that the one we sang this morning? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. It talks about, well, maybe that wasn't it. One day, there was that song we sang, right? I was sitting here thinking to myself, and I didn't have my super awesome technology here to record my... I should have had some paper. Thanks, Anna. I should have had the archaic means of recording my thing down there. I think it was one day. One day the tomb was rolled away. One day he came up. One day he died. One day he was resurrected. I mean, just like that, this power that's presented, power that was exhibited, power that's recorded for our own understanding in the Word. He died and rose again to demonstrate what he could do, and that same one gives us peace. That same one promises us eternity. He has capability, saints. He has capabilities. He's the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus is. We can have an understanding of what his capabilities are. It's right there, and it's right here if we allow it to be. How about his motivations? Can we be educated in what motivates the Lord to use those capabilities on our part? Well, I believe we can. I believe I'm educated in it, aren't you? Don't you have some education in what moves the Lord to do what he does? Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Anyone who knows the Word, anyone who spends any kind of time in the Bible, it takes very little time to recognize, find what it is that all that the Lord wants to do and why he does it. Romans 5 and verse 6. I could give you John 3:16. You can see that at just about any ball game these days. I mean, the word is put out there even kind of in jest sometimes. But here's Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. There's a motivation in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him because of his love for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, verse 10 continues the thought where it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that what? Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's his motivation. His love for us and his desire for us to live together with him. Not just in eternity, as if that's a just, but now. Starting now, living and abiding in him and with him. His motivation is love. Love for his people. His motivation is that he be glorified in those ones that he loves. Those ones that he's trying to demonstrate his love through so that other people can be his people. He wants us to be, well, one of many brethren to Christ, the firstborn. Yeah, I do believe that I understand God's motivations. I believe that I understand Christ's motivations for me. That's part of the reason why I trust him so. Do I have experience with him? Do you have experience with the Lord? Do you have experience that you can say, yeah, I have, he's done this, and he's done this for me, and he's done this for me, and he's done this for me. You know, I always want to have, this is just the natural part of me, I'm a natural, well, one who enjoys stories. And I enjoy telling stories, and I enjoy watching someone have the wow moment of hearing a really just a good, cool story. I love having a wow moment where I can hear a story and say, man, that, wow, that moved me, man. I enjoy that. And so I've heard all these stories about prisoners of war and people who were in prisons of varying types and people in concentration camps. And I've heard of people who have actually been in prison, you know, where there's this huge, great testimony. I've shared a number of these things where there are just unthinkable, unimaginable type experiences that people have. I heard the story about a woman who, well, within the last century, she was in captivity, captured, dug in a big hole, dropped down. There was drainage in this hole, so it was constantly seepy and constantly wet and constantly boggy. And you know what happens when you get your feet down in the wet, boggy mud and all that sort of thing? You get trench foot, right? You get foot rot and all of those sorts of things. She sat there for years and years and years, trapped, captive, not even really knowing who her captive was. You hear all kinds of stories like that on the news, and you hear all kinds of, you know, follow-up on that sort of thing. Well, this is someone that you know. Her name's Diane Burge. Her name's Lorraine Franklin. Her name's Emma Franklin. Nancy Rose. Pam Patterson. I could list a whole bunch. You know, I love the stories, don't get me wrong. I love the stories of natural occurrences and natural rescues and natural people imprisoned. There is no greater experience. There is no greater story than someone who was in the miry clay and the Lord reached down and took them out. You have experience. If that is it, you have experience. It doesn't stop there. When I say Diane, and when I say Lorraine, and when I say Emma and Nancy, you know, I'm talking about all of the people that are present here. Each of us were captive. Each of us were prisoners. Each of us were in the miry clay. It doesn't matter, male, female, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you believed when you were a kid. The Lord saved you from the years of loss, the years of imprisonment that were yours, an eternity of imprisonment. That's where we were, no matter where we were. No matter who we are, no matter when we accepted, when we believed. Have I experienced and witnessed blessing from him? Yes, I have, and so have you. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths." So let's leave salvation behind. Let's leave that rescue behind that we've all experienced if we've believed in the Lord Jesus. Has He done this for you? Has He directed your paths as you've trusted Him? You know, I'm just keeping this rather vague and rather general, because I don't know what each individual person has experienced. And you don't want to hear everything that I've experienced. We share this. I'm confident. If you have trusted in the Lord with all your heart, even in one specific situation, He will direct you, and He has directed you. And He's taken you, well, in a place that you would not have been and would not have been capable of on your own. I've considered the instruction in the Word of God. I've heard the Lord speak to my heart clearly. Received instructions from both of those things. And I found when I have obeyed those things, I have been blessed overwhelmingly, clearly. Perhaps never hearing His voice audibly. Perhaps never having a letter come from Him saying, "See, this is how it was supposed to turn out. You see, here's what you did." Because I kept record myself. I kept an understanding and a memory. And the blessing came from that. Now, I've disobeyed the Lord, dismissed His instruction, and I've learned also from those repercussions. But when I have trusted Him, listened to His word, obeyed His word, I've reaped the fruit of that. And it's happened many, many, many times. Yes, I have experience with Him, even past and beyond salvation, presently, now, in these moments, in these days, when I have listened to Him and followed His direction and His instruction, I've been blessed by that. Blessed in that. I trust I've been a blessing to others in that. And others who have done the same have been a blessing to me. Why do I trust God? Because He tells me of His love for me, gives me His motivations, works for my best interest. He's taken action on my part, bearing out His capabilities to follow after those motivations. He's all powerful and He does miracles. He's done miracles on my part. And I've seen it in His word and proven it in my own life. I have experience. I know His motivations. I know His capabilities, and I've been experienced in the Lord. And so I'm confident. I'm confident. No matter how new you are in faith, if you're new at all, He's done the same for you. We know. We know He has. And we know that it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. We know that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. "As for me, I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God." Of course, we trust God. Of course. So that begs the question, why don't we trust Him? It's that oxymoron, right? Playing with your mind this morning. Yes, we trust Him, so why don't we? You know what I mean, right? There are levels of trust. There are varying levels of trust. I don't like having that slide put up there and taking ownership of it, but I will. I'll take ownership of that. There are moments when I don't trust the Lord. I trust it. I hope that they are fleeting moments. I get anxious. Something pops up. Oh, no. You know, as soon as you say, "Oh, no," oftentimes that is a lack of trust. Now, sometimes it can just be an exclamation, "Oh, I can't believe this is happening. Lord, help." But sometimes it's, "Oh, no, what am I going to do?" As soon as those words, as soon as those thoughts come into our mind, all of a sudden we realize, what am I going to do? And it's a very arrogant place to be, first off. It's a very troubling, it's a very limiting place to be. So the quicker that we ditch that thought, the better. What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust the Lord in it. You might have heard the little, there's a little anecdote that different ones say from time to time about the guy who fell off the cliff, and he reached out and grabbed a branch on the way down, and he's hanging on the branch, and he's like, "Anybody up there?" And he heard a voice, "Yes, I'm here." "Well, who are you?" "Well, it's God." "Lord, help me. Do you trust me?" "Yes, I sure do." "Then let go." "Anybody else up there?" you know, isn't that right? I mean, that's true to life, isn't it? "Yes, of course I trust You, Lord." "Yeah, thank goodness You're there." And then when he tells us something that goes against our logic and goes against our rationale and goes against something, man, that doesn't fit, right? Then all of a sudden, the trust level falls off. The problem with trusting the Lord perfectly is the same problem that I have with trusting the government, with trusting drivers, with trusting restaurants, with trusting my neighbors. It's because there are people involved. And when I have a difficult time trusting God, it's not because He's involved, it's because I'm involved. I'm the frail one. I'm the fragile one. I'm the one where the weakness is at. My mind gets involved, and my thoughts get involved, and, well, I'll hesitate, man. That's what we'll do. I have no reason to fail in the Lord. When He tells me what to do, I have no reason to fail. Not when I can listen to Him. He has justified my trust by His power. He has proven His care for me by His word, by His works in my life, and He has done so repeatedly. So why will I not trust Him? Despite all those capabilities, and despite all the understanding I have of His motivation, despite my undeniable experience I have with Him, there are times when I don't default to trusting Him. How about you? Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Poor Peter, right? Poor Peter. Man, Peter is so entirely, man, I can empathize with the man. So entirely. But he's that perfect picture of I trust. I don't trust. He is. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. I presume perhaps they could have recognized that it was Jesus and said, "It's Jesus, it's fine." But immediately Jesus spoke to them, in case they didn't see, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." The fear remained. All right, the fear remained. Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Man, we bag on Peter a bunch, but he's the only one who trusted the Lord and said, "I'm coming to You. You call me out, I'm coming." It begins with a step of faith. It begins with an understanding that Jesus is Jesus, and I need to make this step. I need to make this move as He calls me, as He beckons me. And then things happen immediately. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And you know what he did. Jesus saved him. Immediately stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Saints, we're all prone to fail in those kind of circumstances, aren't we? We're all prone to fail. I've mentioned it multiple times. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if Peter looked like he was surfing on those waves, if everything was coming up, if it was slapping him in the face, if he was literally bone dry, just riding. I don't know what it looked like. But man, let me tell you something. When you're standing there, when you are standing there in the middle of the storm, it troubles you. It troubles you, right? We were at a choral concert last night, and they sang this old spiritual. Man, a beautiful arrangement. There had been 100 people singing. It was beautiful. And this old, century-old spiritual from back in the slave days. And, well, it was saying, now it escapes me. "I've been in the storm for so long, just give me a little time to pray." And they sang that part over and over and over again. And they were singing it because it's beautiful. But I sat and I thought to myself, man, I've been in the storm for so long, just give me a little time to pray. If only people would recognize they have all the time they need in the storm to pray. Pray in the middle of the storm. Pray because He's right there, man. He's right in front of us. He's not far removed from us. He's right there. "Peter, save me immediately. Hand out, up. You were already up if he hadn't lost his trust in the moment, hadn't been overcome by the storm well, he wouldn't have started sinking. But things start not feeling logical, not feeling natural. God's direction, all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is weird. I'm walking on some water here. And this storm is something that I'm typically afraid of. And this is, what's going on? I'm sinking. And then your voices start getting loud in your mind. Sometimes the outside voices start getting loud. Saints, when that happens, what do? Do we trust the Lord? There are varying measures of trust. I believe you do. I know I do as well. I trust the Lord. My goodness, I need to trust him more. I need to trust him continually. And the good thing is, the good news is that he's helping us to trust him more. All right? Do you question his capability? Think about it. Where are you today? Full trust, no trust. We're somewhere in here, right? We're not perfectly trusting. We're not. Somewhere in here. I hope it's somewhere up in here. But do you question his capability? Do you question his motivation to help you? Paul spoke to the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. I'm not going to call you foolish this morning, but we can put ourselves in this place. Who has bewitched you? Who's convinced you that you should not obey? That word also is translated trust. Who's convinced you that you should not trust the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He is Christ. He died. And he rose. It's recorded. It's been presented. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, if you're questioning his capability, questioning his motivation, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. You questioning his capability? Questioning his, is that what's hindering us from trusting him? Don't. Don't question it. Because it's there. The motivation is there. He wants to fix you. He wants to heal you. He wants to grow you. He wants to mature you. And he's capable of doing that. Maybe you question your experience with him. Maybe you don't realize that he has done for you. Again, if he's your God, and you've owned Psalm 31:14, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. You are my God. You've believed? Well, then you can trust him with Psalm 37. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, whatever it is. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. You don't feel like you've had experience with him? Then experience him today. Trust him today. See what happens. Trust him with whatever's shaking you up. Trust him with your storm today. You think that sounds trite and glib? So do it. Do it. Are you troubled today? Walk out of this place and say, Lord, take my mind, take this anxiety, and let me place this on you today. And when it comes up again, say, Lord, take this today. Take this now and see what happens. You build experience because he blesses you and he does take it from you. Friends, do you trust him for a little bit? Then trust him for all of it. As he asks you to in Proverbs 22, I'll close with this. I love this passage because it just collects and captures the entire concept, the entire thought this morning. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Not my words, his words. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Has he not proven? Has he not written? Has he not lived a life of testimony? Has he not lived a life of power? Had it recorded? And then as soon as we trust him, he gives us peace that passes all understanding. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us healing. He gives us direction. He gives us comfort. He gives us guidance. He gives us fruit as we trust in Him. Saints, if you don't have experience in Him, practice trusting Him. Learn to trust Him, and you'll experience Him, and you will live trusting in Him.